In 1973, we're on our virtual tour in St Mary's Enniscorthy, in the heart of the town, near to the castle and the Church Institute. Many things one could say about the very vibrant parish of Enniscorthy, but one thing that's impressive at the moment is, despite indeed setbacks, the amount of investment and commitment that's going into the restoration of the splendid organ and the investment the church makes there in music. I think that's really commendable and not an area where we should ever be other than proactive. And it's great sometimes to be able to applaud parishes for spending money on art and beauty and liturgical creativity, because inevitably we can sometimes concentrate all our efforts on more basic aspects of the fabric and keeping the water out and the roof on. So, well done to Enniscorthy. 1973. The beginning of the year was a never-to-be-forgotten day in terms of its long-term impact in Ireland. On that day, Ireland, along with Denmark and the UK, were admitted to the then EEC. Norway had also been expected to join, but the proposal to do so there was surprisingly and narrowly defeated in a referendum. The referendum majority to join in Ireland had been overwhelming. The United Kingdom joined by an act of parliamentary sovereignty under a Conservative government. Labour, then as now in opposition, grumbled about the terms and conditions and promised when they returned to power to have a confirmatory referendum. That occurred, and at the time, the majority in favour of remaining was substantial. But a hair had been run in relation to the British constitutional understanding of sovereignty resting with the Crown in Parliament. And the running of that hair was to lead, as we know, to extraordinary consequences 40 years later with Brexit. I often wonder why those who opposed a so-called second referendum after the Brexit referendum on EU membership in recent times were so dogged in their view that when the British people had spoken democratically, they should not be asked again when the matter was further teased out. They seemed to forget that the British people had already voted clearly and decisively to be in Europe by popular vote in the 1970s, and surely that would have been enough. And in fact, if there had been a further referendum after Brexit, it would not have been the second but the third referendum. Anyway, on January the 1st, 1973, in we went. Most people here have held the view that the EU as it became has been good for Ireland and allowed a small nation to develop its own identity instead of always being in the shadow of the big neighbour. Strangely, we would never have been allowed to enter if Britain had not done so. Our economic systems were then too intertwined. But now we have stayed when they have left. We sometimes see Berlin as a nearer neighbour than London, and we are crafting our economic future and our identity in many ways over and against Britain in terms of trading opportunities in a manner we probably could not have even envisaged doing since perhaps as far back as the 12th century. It's extraordinary. 150 years ago, the Church of Ireland charted its own future in the aftermath of a British decision. Now, the nation as a whole, as never before, stands alone among these islands in the context of such a decision. And yet, it is in full European solidarity.